Hello, this is Mark Peacock, and welcome to the Travel Commons Podcast. This is Travel Commons Podcast number 7. Today is Tuesday, June 28th, 2005. The Travel Commons Podcast is the podcast that gives you the ground-level view of the life of a road warrior. The three topics for today's podcast: the summer travel season, business and leisure travelers have to share the planes once again, travel dining, how people deal with eating alone, and another edition of Classic Travel Stories, Fun in the Airplanes. Coming to you today from Boston, from the bathroom of the Residence Inn on Tudor Wharf in Charlestown, this is potentially the smallest bathroom from which I've podcasted to date. Indeed, I've opened the door to cut down on the echo from the tile. Reminded me a bit too much of Travel Commons podcast number 3, which I did from the shower stall of the bathroom of the Camelback Inn in Scottsdale, Arizona, which, by the way, was the biggest and nicest podcasting bathroom I've been in to date. I'm in town for some meetings today, tomorrow. Just came back from a great Italian meal in the North End. Had a fava bean salad and mint gnocchi with a lamb ragu from Mama Maria restaurant on North Square, in the shadow of Sacred Heart Church, if I remember correctly. I'll put the restaurant URL in the show notes on www.travelcommons.com. It's my first time in the North End here in Boston, and I've loved it. I've spent bits and pieces of time here in Boston, a lot of time, you know, more over in the Back Bay and Copley Square area. But the North End sort of reminds me a lot of South Philly, which I frequented often when I lived in Philadelphia. It's an easy week for me this week, but looking down the barrel at a hellish travel week after the 4th of July weekend, got to be in both L.A. and Baltimore as I try and wrap up things before going off on a 2.5-week vacation. We're going into flying from Chicago to Geneva, Switzerland, then popping over to Albertville. Try and say that 3 times fast. Albertville, France, where we're going to try, if we can find it and we can say it, we're going to try and find see a leg of the Tour de France, and then over to Budapest. Again, kind of looking at about 2.5 weeks. By the way, any hotel suggestions for Geneva or the Albertville area would be appreciated. Also, any suggestions on any pointers on great ways to see the Tour de France while in the French Alps would also be greatly appreciated. A couple of quick follow-up items. Yet another Sean Penn follow-up. And by the way, this is the last Sean Penn item, I promise. Alan Marco, a good friend of mine and a Travel Commons listener, sent me a note following up on my Sean Penn comments in the last 2 Travel Commons podcasts. He writes, "Mark, you can't swing a dead cat around San Francisco without hitting or seeing Sean Penn. We almost ran him over with our Land Rover last year while driving through North Beach. Charlie Rose was interviewing him while they walked from the Neobomb Coppola Cafe over to Tosca's for some drinks. They and the cameraman just stepped out into the street in front of us." You got to wonder sometimes, after you become a celebrity, do you just ignore your mother's advice about looking both ways before crossing the street? In another item, I was riding the water taxi from Logan to Tudor Wharf today when a friend from Apple emailed me that iTunes 4.9, the version of iTunes with podcast subscription, or is that podcatching capabilities, he let me know that was released. I wasn't too surprised. I thought it must be coming close to release. I'd been seeing a handful of hits each day on my Feedburner stats page from clients identifying themselves as iTunes 4.9. He told me that the Travel Commons podcast was indeed in the directory, and I checked my Feedburner stats once I got within Wi-Fi range of the hotel. Nice thing about this Residence Inn, free Wi-Fi and free wired internet access in the room. By 2 in the afternoon, 20% of my circulation was from iTunes 4.9 clients. By this evening, it was 49%. And the great thing about this is that most of the traffic seems to be new subscribers. Eyeballing the circulation trends on FeedBurner over the past couple of weeks, I'd say at least 75% of the iTunes traffic seems to be net new traffic. So welcome to the new subscribers, and I hope you enjoy this podcast. Clowns to the left of me, jokers to the right, here I am, stuck in the middle with you. Today's first topic, the summer travel season is upon us. You know, it feels like it's going to be a crowded summer. I started feeling it a couple of weeks ago, booking a quick visit to L.A. I had a tough time getting a return flight back from LAX and got just a lousy fare. And even off the main trunk routes, a couple of weeks ago, I was flying from Chicago to Hartford, Connecticut, not necessarily one of the main travel routes in the U.S. Even off of the main trunk routes, it's been rare to see a flight that's been less than 75% full. And then United Airlines led with a 3% fare increase that actually stuck. Now, while 3% may not seem like a lot to you and I, especially given the way that gasoline prices have been ratcheting up, they seem to be about 3% a minute. This is about the fifth time that somebody's tried a fare increase in the airline industry this year, and it's been the first one that everybody's followed. And that's an indicator. That is absolutely an indicator that a lot of the spare capacity in the airline system is starting to get soaked up. The newspapers are starting to pick up on the trend too, and you know, in my mind, newspapers are not a leading indicator, but a sure sign that it's now conventional wisdom. An article on the front page of today's USA Today, which, by the way, is the Bible of all business travelers. It's got a great sports section, and it's usually free at every hotel. The front page article says that leisure travel is expected to be robust this summer, and that some forecasters predict an average of 4.5% hotel price increases when compared to last summer. And this on top of an average room rate bump of 6.5% already this year. It says that some prime resort spots could see a jump of 20% in prices over last summer. I'll tell you, business travelers have already been feeling this. This doesn't come as any surprise. Getting a hotel room in New York City for less than $400 a night has been really, really tough. And I'll tell you, finding a decent room here in Boston for this trip for less than $300 took some imagination and a little bit of sleight of hand. I'm also seeing the crowds in the airports start to pick up, and with that lovely and sometimes volatile mix of business and leisure travelers, there's nothing like seeing a hardcore business traveler just begin to steam behind a family of four as they stack everything they own into those great plastic tubs going through the TSA screen points. And I'll tell you, it seems like just yesterday that I was dodging strollers through O'Hare on spring break. And like I said, the security queues, they really start to see a very interesting mix of suits and shorts coming out here to Boston. I'll tell you, the couple behind me in the premium line, so it was the American Airlines Platinum line, Platinum security queue. I'll tell you, they looked like they were heading for a luau on gate H17. And Chris Chufo, another Travel Commons listener, forwarded me a New York Times article on just this topic, the whole idea about people dressing down to avoid security hassles at TSA screening points. I'll tell you, I think they do have a bit of a point. If the TSA is going to make me disrobe and walk barefoot through the airport, why should I put it on in the first place? But Chris had some good comments, and I think sees through the excuse a bit. She said, you know, even before 9/11, I noticed how sloppy people were dressing for the airport. Girls in super short shorts, they must be freezing. Guys in those weightlifting tank tops with the armholes down to their love handles. And every form of sweatpants known to man. And do American people own anything other than sneakers? I know people just want to be comfortable, but we can all do that without being slobs, as Jerry Seinfeld told George Costanza when he was wearing sweatpants day in and day out. He said, what you're telling the world is, I've just given up. And I'll tell you, there are some folks flying today who look like they've just given up. I was picking up my wife and daughter last night as they were flying back from Hartford, Connecticut. And I will tell you that, you know, 75% of that plane was people coming off wearing shorts. And I tell you, I can't remember the last time I wore a pair of shorts, certainly not for business travel, but not even for leisure travel. Well, anyhow, I'll tell you, as those center seats start to fill up, more people are going to be looking for comfort. However, I'm hoping not to be sitting next to too many of the tank top crowd. The airlines have been cutting back engine idling while at the gates as a way to conserve fuel and certainly cut costs. And this reduces the cooling capacity of those little air jets right above you. And as the summer heats up, it was 90 degrees in Boston today. You know, quite honestly, I'm going to want to see a little bit more fabric between me and my neighbor's underarms. Just quickly, Steve Frick of the Frick's World travel blog sent in a quick audio comment from his latest trip. You can tell from this audio comment that he's still kind of easing into the Travel Commons model. He's doing a good job of recording in the hotel room, but he's still not comfortable with the whole bathroom concept.
Hey Mark, it's Frick from Frick's World, coming to you live from the DoubleTree Hotel in beautiful Tysons Corner, Virginia. I'm recording this on my brand new iMic I got for Father's Day. I opted out of the bathroom route for my recording session due to the fact that my travel companion's in the room next to me and I don't want him to overhear me and think I've totally flipped my lid. But I do enjoy hearing the trials and tribulations of a fellow road warrior, and I look forward to your show each week. Keep up the good work. Bye. I'm so
alone. Our second topic on today's Travel Commons podcast, strategies for dining alone. You know, tonight I had a great meal in Boston's North End with a group of about 10 guys. Great wine, great meal, great companionship. However, such a meal is really more the exception anymore than the rule for me. And I'll tell you, dining alone without looking like a complete loser is a key skill for surviving the frequent traveler lifestyle. Early in my career, when my travel was more project-related, rounding up at least a couple of project team members for dinner was pretty easy. Now, though, I tend to travel more on my own for meetings, for sales calls, and I'm typically unhooked from any project teams or really any other group of people. And so I find that I eat on my own more often. Now, I'll tell you, for me, room service doesn't count as a strategy. I'll order room service when I have to go heads down on a load of work, but I really try and stay away from it otherwise. It turns the hotel room into a cave. You end up eating, sleeping, working, watching TV, all in the same little space, and that's just a little too claustrophobic, a little too depressing for me. Sushi restaurants are always an option for me. Now, I know there's a bright line that divides the world between those who can deal with eating raw fish and those who can't, but for me, it's a great option. It's healthy food, and it's acceptable to sit alone at the bar. On top of that, the sushi chef will usually take pretty good care of me. He'll suggest new things on the menu, steer me toward the best fish, and just oftentimes just make general conversation. And when I'm not eating, it's always great to watch the chefs preparing someone else's dish. During one recent dinner, I watched the chef take either a braised or a deep-fried Japanese eggplant, cut it into 5 pieces, and then adorn each piece with a different sauce. I'll tell you, I ordered one of those right on the spot. You know, half the reason was to taste it, but I'll tell you, half the reason was to see the guy go through that again. The craftsmanship was great, and it's great to watch that sort of work. A lawyer I know goes into deep guy mode whenever he eats alone. He walks into the nearest sports bar. Now, he claims he's never had to drive more than 5 miles to find one. Yeah, I don't know. Some of the places he talks about traveling to, I got to question the tightness of his definition of a sports bar. He sits at the bar and positions himself between at least 2 TVs showing different games, orders a beer, a burger, and a Caesar side salad, opens his USA Today, and just enjoys himself. Sits, watches, multitasks across the sports section and 2 to 3 games, and if he's really lucky, there's another TV showing ESPN Sports Center. I asked him how often he tops the evening off with a cigar, and he said, you know, every time that I'm not in California. You know, often I actually find myself enjoying eating alone, especially after a long day of meetings, being by myself with my own thoughts, eating what I want to eat. It was often a good antidote to too many conversations, too many compromises. Even when you travel by yourself, you actually don't spend a huge amount of time alone. You're either in airplanes, sitting next to a guy in an extended weightlifting tank top, or you're in meetings, or you're in cabs, and there's always noise, there's always conversation, there's always things going on. And I'll tell you, sitting at the lunch bar of a Mexican joint with a carnitas burrito, some chips, and a beer certainly can melt away the day's hassles, or at least cover them up for a while. The last topic on today's Travel Commons podcast, it's another edition of Classic Travel Stories. This is a recurring feature on the Travel Commons podcast. I'll tell you, get a group of road warriors together, add alcohol, and quite honestly, it doesn't have to be a lot, stir gently, and you'll get some great stories. And so tonight after dinner and at least a couple of bottles of good Italian wine in the North End here in Boston, we moved from the restaurant over to one of the little cafes in the heart of the North End for cannolis and cappuccinos, which, by the way, some of the guys were adding Frangelico to. And out popped a trio of stories from a Canadian sales manager. His first story was about a memorable Air Canada regional flight. He said they were flying along very nicely when all of a sudden the landing gear pops out at about 35,000 feet. Not a normal thing. Then the plane went into what he said felt like almost a vertical dive. This is it, he thought. We're going down. I'm going to die. And he had a bit to think about. A bit of time to think about this, and he said it amazed him how long it was taking them to crash. He had always thought, okay, once you go into this, you know, power dive, it's a couple of seconds and boom, you go. Indeed, he said he had time to peck out a quick I've always loved you note to his wife on his BlackBerry while he was sure he was plummeting to his death. He finished the note and was still diving, and now he said he was getting a little put off by how long it was taking him to die. You know, at some point, you just want it to be over. Finally, he said, at what was seemed to be about 10,000 feet, he said the plane abruptly leveled off. And then the pilot came on and told the passengers that a heat sensor in the wheel well had lit up, indicating a potential fire, and that popping out the landing gear and the steep dive was a standard response to this. This was standard operating procedure, as you would imagine. Open, you know, if you think you got a fire in the wheel well, open the doors, and the power dive was to blow as much cold air into the wheel well to put out the fire. Luckily, this guy hadn't felt the need to confess anything too terrible in his last words to his wife. The second story, also a Canadian one, the same guy traveling from Calgary to Toronto. This guy and his friend had just missed the flight, and so they decided to sit in a bar and wait for the next one, which was 4 hours later. So they were obviously both a bit lit up when they boarded the flight, but they were still allowed on. As the plane rotated up on takeoff, inclined as they were pulling out, the friend hopped out of his seat, headed back toward the toilet. The flight attendant stopped him, as they will. I mean, you're on climb out. Stopped him, pointing to the seatbelt sign, told him to get back into his seat. At which point, he promptly threw up on her and down the aisle. Now, given that the plane was rotating, was on climb out, you know, and tilted upward, the vomit just rolled rather quickly from row 9 all the way through about row 25. Upon arrival at Toronto some 3 hours later, the police boarded the flight, took the friend away. "You with him?" they asked the sales manager. "Nope," he said, and he just sort of waved goodbye to his friend. And then he said, one last regional Air Canada story. He said it was on another commuter flight, this on a little Dash 8, and he said just after takeoff and after they'd leveled off, The pilot sort of walks quickly out of the cockpit, down the aisle to the back of the plane, and starts feeling the back wall of the cabin. And he said, he looked around and he said to the passengers, "You guys smell any smoke?" And everybody sort of looked at him, and the pilot looked at them and said, "Oh, well." And walked back into the cockpit and wasn't heard from again until they were ready to land. Okay, that's it. That's the end of Travel Commons Podcast number 7. I hope all the new subscribers enjoyed it, and I hope you decide to stay subscribed. I appreciate any comments, either direct email, send directly to comments@travelcommons.com. That's TravelCommons.com. Or go to the TravelCommons.com website, www.TravelCommons.com. Or also you could leave comments on the comment board on PodcastAlley.com. I tend to check those postings every couple of days or so. So again, thanks for listening. Please stay subscribed. Let me know any of your comments, and I'll talk to you again soon. Take care. Bye.